From KALW's The Spiritual Edge podcast, this is our series, Sacred Steps. We take you around the world to meet some remarkable people as they lean on their values and faith to challenge the status quo. I'm Judy Silber. And if after you're listening, you want to hear more of these stories, follow our podcast, The Spiritual Edge. When I was a kid, I used to lay in bed at night, trying to imagine how someone could hate Jews so much they'd want to kill 6 million of them. I thought about it a lot. These days, I often ponder what it's like to be a person on the receiving side of hatred. It's a sad fact, but there's a lot of it going around. For example, once former President Trump started calling COVID-19 the China virus and Kung Flu, there was an alarming rise in reported assaults and harassment against people of Asian descent. Today, we meet a man from the San Francisco Bay Area who's determined to stop the violence. He's a Christian, and he believes change is possible. In 2020, he co-founded the Stop AAPI Hate Coalition. Much to his surprise, it took off. Reporter Heidi Shin has his story.
Along with everything else he does, Russell Jung is a runner.
I ran like 1,600 miles this past year. Sometimes I do breath prayers. So that's breathing in and out. So I would take two strides and say something like, God sees me. And then I think about God hears me. God holds me.
Russell's 58, tall and lean, with salt and pepper hair.
And then I check my time to see how fast I'm running. And then if I'm going well, then I try to beat a certain time.
Russell Jung's wife is also a runner. And one day, early in the pandemic, someone came up to her while she was running on a trail.
I saw this guy walking towards me on the trail, and it was kind of narrow in that space. And then just as I was like passing him, like I saw his like face turning. He was coughing.
The man coughed on her face.
It was upsetting, and there was a little bit of like worry because, you know, I work in healthcare.
Joanne Jung is a pediatrician working with immigrant families. Soon, she and Russell would realize that people were coughing and spitting on Asian Americans deliberately all across the country at pretty alarming rates. Since Russell teaches Asian American studies at San Francisco State University, that's the university that launched ethnic studies in the U.S., he says he knew what was about to happen next.
Yeah, we knew from history that Asians get blamed for diseases.
So he reached out to two colleagues, Cynthia Choi and Manju Kulkarni. Both led Asian American nonprofits in California. Together, they launched Stop AAPI Hate, a website to report hate incidents and violence against Asian Americans. They track where these incidents were happening, how often, to who. And they'd propose policies and offer practical solutions to stop these racist acts. In other words, they wanted to start a social movement. They wanted to get the word out about racism against Asian Americans. They wanted to see people protest, to ask for things to change. But
we didn't think that it would grow to this extent. The movement grew much larger than we could ever have dreamt about.
He didn't know yet that things would blow up on social media and the White House would take note. But he doesn't like to talk about it in these terms, so take too much credit. Russell's a Christian. He helped to start the Evangelical Covenant Church in his neighborhood. He simply sees his work as a calling. His wife, Joanne, agrees.
And even like from the days that I first met Russell and we were dating, he talked about feeling a sense of calling of mobilizing Asian American churches, of mobilizing the Asian American community towards justice. I think that faith has been a very important part of both motivating and sustaining the work that he does.
In just the first week, Stop AAPI Hate fielded hundreds of messages. This is what people reported to their site.
I was in line at the pharmacy when a woman approached me and sprayed Lysol all over me. She was yelling out, "You're the infection. Go home. We don't want you here." I was in shock and cried and left the building. No one came to my help.
My elderly mother, 65 years old, was waiting for the subway when someone tried to push her off the platform down onto the train tracks. She screamed and a fellow bystander chased off the perpetrator.
two white men who live nearby tried to hit us with their car. We jumped out of the way and they missed us by inches. They stopped and yelled out the window at us, "Go back to China."
Three boys circled my friend, spat on her, and called her slurs. She was about to burst into tears. She is scared to go to school now.
The pandemic was killing hundreds of thousands, but the research Russell and his team collected through the Stop AAPI hate site showed that a lot of Asian Americans were more stressed by racism than they were about getting the virus.
Because you could protect yourselves against COVID-19 by wearing a mask, but you can't protect yourself from some random stranger who's going to push you or spit on you, right? And that's really anxiety provoking. And that's what the Asian American community is feeling at the moment, especially our elderly.
The Stop AAPI hate team worked 14 to 16 hours a day. They demanded big changes. More mental health services and legal services for hate crime survivors. Anti-bullying training for teachers. Rewriting American textbooks to include Asian Americans in U.S. history. Civilian foot patrols to help seniors. And language interpreters to navigate these resources. A lot was happening. Harassment, physical attacks, violence. But they suspected something more was yet to come.
We strategized what would happen if there is a mass shooting. What would happen if there was mass detention? What would happen if there was more racial profiling? And all those scenarios, worst case scenarios, actually came to fruition.
Then what they anticipated but hoped would not happen did happen.
Deadly shootings in Atlanta, killing at least
on March 16th, 2021, a gunman in Atlanta, Georgia, killed six Asian American women.
Eight people were killed in the city and at least one wounded in those attacks yesterday night. And at least half of the victims are believed to be Asian women.
In the Asian American community, people were in shock, grieving. Women in particular feared for their safety. We are calling our mothers, worrying about our daughters, telling them to be careful. All this meant more work for the Stop AAPI hate team, organizing rallies and protests and prayer vigils, fielding nonstop calls from the press, from community partners.
We had all the press call us that week, right? And so in some ways, I didn't have any time to stop and think and reflect on the Atlanta shootings because I was responding.
Do you think that jumping into the fray, jumping into action, did that help with your grief?
Yeah, I think so. I think even now we're learning that, you know, with the trauma, people have different responses. There's depression and anxiety. But responding gives you a sense of control rather than a sense of hopelessness. You have a sense of mastery rather than a sense of there's nothing we can do against all this societal racism, against this, you know, you need to translate your grief into action or else it just sits with you. It burns into you. It becomes resentment and fear. It paralyzes you.
You're listening to Sacred Steps, a series from KALW's The Spiritual Edge podcast. You can hear more great stories like the one you're listening to now by following The Spiritual Edge in your podcast app or go to thespiritualedge.org. Now back to the story about Stop AAPI hate co-founder Russell Jung.
Russell and his team doubled down on their efforts to meet with lawmakers, educators, and neighborhood leaders. They also started this hashtag, #StopAAPIHate. After the shootings in Atlanta, it went viral. Daniel Day Kim, Eric Nam, Bo Yang, Sandra Oh, Jeremy Lin, and other celebrities, they took to their social media feeds with the hashtag.
I knew we made it as a global movement when BTS tweeted us, and it became like the leading hashtag.
BTS, the breakout South Korean boy band with dedicated K-pop fans all around the world.
Did you know who BTS is?
Yeah, I know who BTS is. And so thank you, BTS.
Corporations like the 99 Ranch supermarket chain, McDonald's, Disney, and others, they started tugging on Russell's sleeves too, booking him to speak at their companies, asking for advice about anti-racist policies in the workplace and how to harness the influence of their brands for change.
Everybody wants something right away. And so I'm sitting with Disney executives and I'm thinking, wow, you know what? We know that in terms of fighting racism, If changing the narrative is part of the solution, maybe spending time with Disney executives is actually more strategic than talking to the White House.
The Stop AEPI Hate team barreled ahead, responding to calls for advice and media requests, and they continued their research. Over the course of a year, they released nearly 24 reports. Reports about what was happening all over the country, in places like Atlanta, LA, Texas. Asian American youth being bullied, the violence against Asian American women and girls, and most recently, a report about mental health. Their data showed how common it is for Asian American survivors of racial incidents to show symptoms of trauma.
Someone drove up to me, rolled down their window and shouted, "I used to beat up your kind of people when I was in high school. I was terrified. I was alone. I was just going to pick up dinner. I cried hysterically in my car after the incident."
I was walking with a female friend and a man walked past us and said, "Chinese, go back to China." He repeatedly yelled at us, "Go back to China." We were very scared. We tried to get away from him, but he followed us for about 3 minutes, one block. My friend and I were shaken.
We have been terrorized by a yelling, shouting, and spitting at our elderly mother when she is in her yard. We feel afraid for our safety. We are on edge, constantly fear intrusion into our home, cannot sleep well at night, unable to walk outside due to fear for our safety.
Hypervigilance is now you're super aware of your surroundings. You're concerned about other people, strangers. I know people walking down the sidewalk and they would, if someone came running at them, they would jump into traffic because they're more afraid of the person than the traffic, right? That's hypervigilance.
And that's not all. Other symptoms emerge too.
Like anxiety and depression. But what we found is that anger increases over time. As more people reflect on what happened to them, they realize that was really wrong, that type of mistreatment. That was really unfair.
Russell wasn't immune to this kind of trauma either.
Yeah, now that I think about Atlanta, man, I'm still really upset. So at least I have a heart still, right? I'm glad I could still be moved, right? Rather than these just being names or numbers, you know?
Here's Russell's wife, Joanne, again.
He cries more. He's not one to cry, and I've seen him cry definitely more often than before. And he talks about the emotional load that he's carrying and how hard this is and how hard this might be to sustain over the long term.
I'm grateful, yeah, that I get to grieve with others and that I get to feel the pain. Because, you know, otherwise I'll just become this again, dead-end, heartless, angry person. And so I'd rather be a grieving, pained person than an angry, hardened person.
Russell's seeing a therapist who's helping him deal with his grief and other issues.
Yeah, so I have, like, people say there's multiple sides, and if you hang around me, you know, there's grumpy, cranky, critical Russell, right? That's like, if you watch the movie Up, there's that grumpy old guy, and I could see myself growing into that grumpy old guy because I'm just like, could point out flaws and everything. And then if we're in a business mode, I'm sort of type A, efficient, be clear, let's get to the point, demanding.
Do you think that some of what you describe as like impatient or critical, do you think those things are also some of your strengths? They help you get things done?
Yeah, they do. I know they're, you know, I push through, I see the possibilities, I want to make change. I'm actually, you know, that's why I could crank out reports. That's why I could write books really quickly and easily. It's just because, like, I don't care what other people think, I just want to get it done. And so I get things done.
There's no doubt about that. Long before the Stop AAPI Hate campaign, Russell and his wife Joanne have been activists in their Oakland, California neighborhood. He's organized his neighbors, mostly Latino and Cambodian, to sue their slumlords over crummy living conditions. They won. He's friends with the families living in tents under the freeway because the rent's gotten too high. He brings them supplies. Russell believes that God gave him the heart to make all these things happen. And that's why he believes that something that's as big as racism, that it'll be God who changes that too.
I'm not so worried about the hashtag movement or how much media attention. I want to make sure my next door neighbor, the Vietnamese grandfather, is safe on the streets. And I see him, and he reminds me that this is what I'm working for, to keep him safe.
But there was this time a few months ago, he'd promised to help an elderly neighbor with something.
Actually, I felt so bad I forgot someone's grandma. I still know it bugs me. The grandma that I forgot kept me grounded.
Russell says that spending time with his wife and his kids, keeping a journal, his dry sense of humor, and his faith, these are the things that help sustain him.
We pray together as a family, and so we pray together every night. So that's just been a family tradition. We attend church together. Like, group worship has been an important piece of fueling the work that we do.
And it helps Russell and Joanne to find meaning in their activism and their work, to see a bigger purpose to what they're doing.
I'm just part of the movement overall, and I'm just part of God's plan in the big, big picture, in the cosmic picture. And that if I'm led by God, then I, you know, what better place can be to be in the center of God's will?
And in the process, Russell and his wife Joanne have seen big changes as activists, things that seemed impossible.
Even though we have seen shootings and death and pain and violence, you know, societal oppression that's been centuries old, we could still see change.
He wants people to understand why racially motivated crimes happen, to know what it feels like to face this kind of trauma and to survive it, so that maybe the next time you're a bystander, you'll choose to intervene. Or maybe the people who commit these crimes, they'll develop a little more empathy too.
Rather than incarcerating people or punishing people, what we try to do is empathize with people, understand why they caused harm, understand how harm has impacted others, and then see the humanity in each other to prevent the harm from occurring again.
Russell doesn't believe sending people to prison is the solution either. He wants us to understand what's causing people to commit these hate crimes.
I think we need to have empathy for one another in order to stop the cycle of racism or violence.
And all of this will take time, of course. In the meantime, Russell plans to keep going with the Stop AAPI Hate campaign for however long that it takes. In a state with a significant Asian American community, the team has scored a legislative win. In July 2021, state lawmakers in California approved a historic $156 million AAPI equity budget for services for hate crime survivors, interpreters, healthcare and counseling, restorative justice programs in schools, and more. And Russell and Joanne, they plan to keep on running.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on running as long as I can. I thought about this. I want to run a marathon in my 60s. I think that sounds sort of cool.
In other words, nothing's going to stop him. For The Spiritual Edge, I'm Heidi Shin.
You've been listening to a story from the Sacred Steps series. We're a production of KALW's The Spiritual Edge in collaboration with USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. Thanks to Andrew Wong, Melissa Yang, James Boo, Anna Noyes Sani, and Katie Semro for reading the Stop AAPI Hate Report. If you haven't already, follow The Spiritual Edge podcast wherever you listen. We've got more great stories on the way, and you won't want to miss them. Support for Sacred Steps comes from the John Templeton Foundation and the Templeton Religion Trust. Cheryl Duvall is the Sacred Steps editor. Tariq Fuda is the engineer. Lindsay Myers-Humley is the digital content manager. Tom Levy is the photographer for The Spiritual Edge. We're grateful to all the people who helped get this Spiritual Edge podcast out into the world, including Megan Suisse, Heba Farag, Ben Trefney, Sharina Dell, Sadia Termizi, Jeffrey Burke-Witten, and Megan Jones. We'd love it if you'd help share the word about these stories. We think they're special, and we'd like more people to hear them. You can give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, share us on social media, and tell your friends. I'm Judy Silber. Thanks for listening.
Native Voice 1. the Native American Radio Network.